Hello, this is the BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. The Defence Ministry in Moscow has said that Wagner mercenaries, with the support of Russian troops, have taken full control of the Ukrainian city of Bakhmut. The ministry statement came hours after a similar claim by the leader of the Wagner group, which was denied by Ukraine. The battle for Bakhmut has been the longest and bloodiest of the war so far. But as James Landale explains, the city holds little strategic significance.
It is not a strategic hub, it doesn't hold any power plants, or it's not a transport hub. But both sides have chosen to make it a symbolic place where they are going to try and fight and hold as long as they can. The Russians, particularly the Wagner mercenary group, have chosen Bakhmut so they can at least claim they've won something. They can claim some kind of victory. Ukraine, for its side, has chosen to stand firm and defend Bakhmut simply for strategic reasons, to try and kill as many Russian and Wagner soldiers as possible.
Sudan's warring factions are reported to have reached an agreement for a 7-day humanitarian ceasefire after talks in Saudi Arabia. The United States and Saudi Arabia, who sponsored the talks, said the truce would come into effect on Monday. Ilse Ochney reports.
There have been numerous ceasefire agreements between the Sudanese regular army and the paramilitary rapid support forces, but these have quickly collapsed. However, the US-Saudi statement said the ceasefire would be enforced by an internationally supported monitoring mechanism. The agreement also calls for distributing humanitarian aid, restoring essential services, and withdrawing troops from hospitals. It said the Jeddah talks had focused on a short-term ceasefire to relieve the suffering of the Sudanese people. The conflict has displaced more than 1 million people.
South Korean experts are beginning a visit to Japan today to assess its plan to discharge contaminated water from the wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant into the Pacific Ocean. Seoul has been strongly critical, but Tokyo says it's unavoidable with space running out to store the water used to cool the damaged reactors. The Irish Nationalist Party Sinn Féin, which favours a united Ireland, has become the largest party in Northern Ireland's local government for the first time. Its vice president, Michelle O'Neill, called the result historic. Chris Page reports from Belfast.
Never before has an Irish Nationalist Party won the most seats on Northern Ireland's councils. Sinn Féin is all but certain to achieve that breakthrough. Michelle O'Neill said the results reflected deep public frustration at the Democratic Unionists' veto of the power-sharing devolved government. The DUP is blocking the formation of a coalition at Stormont in protest against Brexit trading arrangements.
World News from the BBC. Tens of thousands of Israelis took to the streets for the 20th consecutive week of protests against the government's plans for the judiciary. Crowds gathered at around 150 locations across the country, with the biggest demonstration in Tel Aviv. The proposed overhaul would curtail the authority of the Supreme Court. Pope Francis has asked the head of the Italian Bishops' Conference to embark on a peace mission to try to help bring an end to the war in Ukraine. In 1992, Cardinal Matteo Zuppi helped end the civil war in Mozambique. Last month, the Pope hinted at his intention to launch a peace initiative. Manchester City have won the English Premier League for the third time in a row. The team managed by Pep Guardiola will now attempt to achieve the treble, lifting three trophies in a single season, when they play in the finals of the European Champions League and the English FA Cup next month. The celebrated British author Martin Amis has died. He was 73. His works, including Money and London Fields, defined a new era of British writing in the 1980s and 90s, recognised for their dark comedy and commentary on the excesses of capitalism. Later books investigated Stalin's purges and the legacy of the Holocaust. Martin Amis spoke to the BBC about his own death.
What I fear, and what we all fear, is dying, getting there, is very arduous. There's a phrase I use called the great sweat of death. It is messy and draining. And I wonder why that is so. What's the function of this final feat that you have to do? Why shouldn't you be able to drift off, as some people do, without pain? But it isn't like that.
BBC News.